You're listening to WSKV 104.9, Pickup Country, serving Powell, Estill, Montgomery, Clark, Lee, Bath, Menifee, Owsley, and Wolf counties.
It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Simon with you here as we are live here at PCSN, as David Faulkner is not joining me here tonight, as he is busy with the girls' 14th region softball tournament. Tonight's game is actually being held over in Clark County, as the rain set in earlier here today, and they probably had time to get the field ready, but with the facilities over in Clark County, they graciously allowed them to come in and host, I guess, in a sense. So the championship game going over there tonight. The championship game features the Wolf County Lady Wolves with a record of 22-9 facing off against the Perry County Central Lady Commodores with a record of 22-9. So we'll kind of recap girls' softball action for you. We will also recap boys baseball action. So we'll start with the girls. Normally we do a COVID report. At this point, though, we're going to allow that to kind of subside, if you will, where everything is seemingly somewhat back to normal, if you will. Even a lot of the local businesses no longer requiring the mask. Obviously, if people have been vaccinated, encouraging those that have not, one, to become vaccinated, two, to wear your mask. But a lot of the restrictions, people are kind of lifting a lot of those restrictions under the circumstances, and that's actually good to see. Obviously, again, I've not necessarily been able to keep up with the numbers as of late, just where everything seems to kind of get back to some normalcy, if you will. So with that being said, let's go on, and we will talk about girls softball. We'll start first with the regional tournament as the Estill County Lady Engineers faced off against Hazard in the opening game, as Estill County, the Lady Engineers, with a decisive win, 22-0 over Hazard, as they scored two runs in the first inning, and then they ended up scoring 20 runs in the next inning, again, to end that game in three innings. Emma Winkle on the mound for the Lady Engineers did an outstanding job for them to win that game. Again, when you look at the way the region was kind of set up, a lot of the top-tier teams, if you will, were the ones to advance, so not necessarily a surprise that Estill County ended up winning that game, as much as it was a surprise as far as the routing, if you will, the onslaught of runs that were able to be scored by Estill County. So under those circumstances, again, just an outstanding performance there as they ended up advancing. In the second game, it was the Wolf County Lady Wolves against Knott County Central, the Patriots there. A back-and-forth battle it was on that one, as both teams were able to score, and then they kind of alternated as far as who was leading. And then finally, in the last inning there, in eight innings, as it went to an extra inning, it was Wolf County coming out victorious in that match. So two good games to kind of start the tournament there in that first round. And so then that set up the Estill County Lady Engineers against the Wolf County Lady Wolves. And then in the bottom half of the bracket, it was Letcher County Central versus Jackson City. That game really could have gone either way. Again, two really good teams, and it was Letcher County Central who ended up winning 11-10. Again, another one of those back-and-forth battles between both of those teams. If you were able to watch, obviously WSKV had a lot of these games on their Facebook page. If you came out and watched it, a lot of really good action. The games were very competitive, very nice to watch in a sense as far as the two middle games, as Letcher County Central ended up defeating Jackson City 11-10 in that matchup to advance. And then the last game of the night was Perry County Central versus Powell County, the Lady Pirates. It was a tough outing for the Lady Pirates in that game, as they started off as the visitor in that game. A rare circumstance in a sense, especially being a home game, as those games were played at the Powell County High School girls softball field. And the Lady Pirates ended up coming up scoreless in the first inning. And then Perry County Central, the Lady Commodores, scored five runs on just two hits in the first inning. Three batters were walked. There was one strikeout, one left on base, and eight stolen bases to score five runs. So quickly it was 5-0 as the Lady Pirates head into the top of the second. And when you look at the stolen bases, the mistakes that the Lady Pirates ended up making, they started off with three consecutive walks to load the bases. Then at that point, then a strikeout. And then after that, you get a double that clears some bases. Then you follow that up with a home run with two runners on. And just like that, again, Perry County Central just jumped out ahead and led 5-0. They batted all the way through. All nine players came to the plate in that first inning, as they ended up leading 5-0. So then you head to the top of the second inning. Lady Pirates, the first two batters get out. And then finally, Maddie Brandenburg coming in the sixth spot, the catcher for the Lady Pirates. She comes up and she gets a single. And then at that point, it was followed up by a shot right back to the pitcher to end the inning at that point. So the Lady Pirates had one hit, one left on base. And then we go to the bottom of the second inning, and Perry Central was able to get seven hits, nine runs, two walks, one strikeout, seven stolen bases, two hit by pitch, as they scored the nine runs to lead 14-0 at the end of two innings. And at that point, again, a few errors by the Lady Pirates, but really just solid hitting by the Lady Commodores. They came up and were able to take advantage of the pitches that they ended up getting. They had a triple, a single, another single, followed up by another single, a double, a couple of walks, and a single. Again, those seven stolen bases, so 15 stolen bases in the first two innings. They were really able to take advantage of those opportunities. The first five batters that were faced ended up getting on base, and all five of those ended up scoring as well. So when you're looking at the first three batters, each one of them were able to, in the first two innings, each one of them were able to get on base, and each one of them were able to score. And then you go down to the number four hitter, struck out her first appearance, but then turns around, gets an RBI and a run. The same thing with the number five spot. So under those circumstances, you look at the way that Perry Central was able to hit the Lady Pirates. Again, hitting the ball in the gap, taking advantage, stealing those bases, manufacturing some runs for themselves. So at the end of the second inning, it was 14-0. Perry County Central ended up leading the Lady Pirates. And then you go to the top of the third inning, and the Lady Pirates ended up all three players struck out. They had no hits, no runs, three strikeouts in the game. Those were the only three strikeouts that were recorded. The Lady Pirates were able to mostly hit the ball. Unfortunately, just wasn't in the gap, wasn't in those open spots on the field, where they ended up having one hit and three strikeouts, no runs. They had the one player that was left on base in Maddie Brandenburg. And then you go to the bottom of the third inning, and at that point, Perry Central was able to score a run. They did have but one hit in that inning, a couple of walks, a couple of errors, able to manufacture those runs to come across a couple of more stolen bases. So all in all, they ended up scoring 15 runs. They had 13 hits, stole the base 17 times. You know, when you look at those numbers, those are incredible. A couple of hit by pitches. They also ended up having six walks. So they were able to score the run to go up 15-0. And at that point, the game was called in three innings as Perry Central, the Lady Commodores, again, just really put it to the Lady Pirates in that particular game. And then when you look pitching-wise, Kim Hughes, the pitcher on the mound, she was relieved by Caitlin Grigsby. They held the Lady Pirates to just one hit in that game. So an incredible performance on the mound by both of those players to only record the one hit. He and the Lady Pirates were able to make contact, just couldn't quite put the ball in play, in a sense. Hated the fact that the Lady Pirates, that's kind of how they ended their season, especially at home under those circumstances. You know, it's the last thing you want to do. You get into a regional tournament, and all of a sudden you're hosting that tournament, and then under those circumstances, it just doesn't quite go your way. They ended up finishing the season 11-23. Several seniors on this Lady Pirate team as well, who will definitely be missed going forward. You have Keely Anderson, played left field. She is a senior. Maddie Brandenburg, catcher behind the plate. She's a senior as well. Then you look at Sierra Wilcox, played outfield. And then Kelly Bloom, right-handed pitcher on the mound for the Lady Pirates, did an outstanding job as well. So those four players will definitely be missed on this team. I ended up forgetting one more as well. Macy Howe, who played first base for the Lady Pirates. So, you know, those five seniors on this team definitely being missed. Four of those out of the five were starting players. So when you look at having to replace a pitcher like Kelly Bloom, and then your outfield, and then your catcher, and then your first baseman, you know, some tough shoes to fill, in a sense, as far as going into the Lady Pirates softball season into next year. But a lot of younger players that saw a lot of action. A lot of players will have an opportunity to get into that starting role next year. And hopefully the Lady Pirates have a better season going forward. Obviously, they want to win the district tournament than regular season. You want to be able to win a regional title in order to go to the state. Again, things just kind of fell short as they hit up against a Perry County Central Lady Commodore team who really did an outstanding job, again, of just hitting the ball, able to take advantage and capitalize off of that. So, again, that final score was 15-0 as Perry County Central advanced to face off against Letcher County Central. So we'll head back up to the top of the regional bracket. And on Monday, it was Wolf County versus Estill County, as that was kind of a back-and-forth game as well. Wolf County was able to jump out early, and they continued to score runs in each one of the innings, and finally able to get up on top of the Estill County Lady Engineers. They ended up winning. Wolf County did. 12-8 was the final score. Estill County was probably the favorite going into that, especially with their record that they ended up having on the season. When you look at Estill County, they were 32-5 on the regular season, and a lot of people expected them to advance, as they had actually defeated Wolf County in the regular season 13-0 and 10-0 in those two matchups. So, you know, obviously you looked at Estill County as far as being the favorite to not only win that game, but obviously to even advance. So they ended up dropping that game to Wolf County. 12-8 was the final. Again, Wolf County came in and really did a nice job of scoring early, and they kept the pressure on the Lady Engineers in that particular game, as Wolf County improved their record to 22-9 at that point, as they advanced to the championship game. What's kind of interesting as well is that when you look at Estill County on their particular softball team, they have no seniors on their roster. So everybody will be returning on a 32-5 team. And obviously the disappointment of not being able to put things together for themselves against that Wolf County softball team. Again, the Lady Wolves came out. They came to play. Again, all it takes is a good game on any given day up against your opponent in order to advance, especially in these tournaments like that. But again, Coach Lynn West did a really nice job over in Estill County for his Lady Engineers to finish 32-5 on the season. And the fact that you have all of these players returning, that's going to be interesting to see how well Estill County actually improves with a 32-5 record. Obviously, everybody else will improve as well. So it's a matter of whether or not on any given day, again, those teams can come in and face off against them. So that set up the championship match game, which is actually going on tonight. Again, that's Estill County versus Perry County Central, as Perry County Central ended up defeating Letcher County Central 10-5. And it's always amazing in a sense as well that when you look at these teams from Eastern Kentucky, when you look at Hazard, Knott County Central, Letcher County Central, Perry County Central, when you look at those teams consistently, these are the teams that come out of the 14th region to represent this particular region. No matter how down in a sense you might think that they are, for some reason, they are always ready to play in the tournament. So it'll be an interesting matchup against Wolf County. Again, that game going on right now over in Clark County. Wolf County with that 22-9 record, Perry County Central 29-9 on the season, as neither one of these teams, they did not play during the regular season on the softball team. So again, it'll be a great matchup over there. It's starting to sprinkle just a little bit here in Stanton, so I guess on one hand it's probably a good thing that they potentially move that over to Clark County. So I'll go on and step aside here and take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about boys baseball action here. You're listening to the Powell County Sports Network. Well, I apologize for that. Ended up kind of messing that up there for a second there. Hit the wrong button, and we're actually back, so I'll just run with it. But while we have a chance as well, I'd like to thank our sponsors who made the broadcasting possible, if you will, throughout the season. They did a great job of joining with WSKV and the Powell County Sports Network to make all of these broadcasts possible, going all the way back to football, volleyball. We're able to do some soccer games, obviously boys and girls basketball, and then the softball and baseball action. Whitaker Bank, Appalachian Wireless, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Mercy Health, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis and Davis Funeral Home, Mercy Medical Clinic, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, Apex Network Physical Therapy, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, and Citizens Guarantee Bank. Again, I'd like to thank them. And when you're out and around here in Powell County, if you stop in any of those places, let them know that you appreciate the fact that they actually sponsor the broadcast here, including those that we were able to have on the WSKV Facebook Live page. Again, under those circumstances, when you look at the sponsors and how much they mean to the broadcast, how invested they are really in the youth of our community, because without them, again, this would not be possible. So again, make sure that you thank them when you go in these businesses and let them know how much you appreciate their sponsorship of these broadcasts. And we will actually be going out soon and getting sponsors for the next season coming up. Again, it's basically 10 months of broadcasting, in a sense, as far as starting in August and going all the way through here into June. When you have all of the sports that we actually cover, it's a lot, in a sense, but obviously we do it for listeners, we do it for the students, to give them that opportunity. And then when you couple that in with the Facebook Live broadcast, it was nice to actually have that option available as well. A lot of viewers ended up signing in to that Facebook Live. Ethan Moore did an outstanding job as far as broadcasting, setting up the cameras, going back to, no matter if it was the basketball, even the soccer, again, no matter what it was under those circumstances, the setting up those cameras. Sometimes it was raining, going back to even football, rain and cold, but he labored through, in a sense, did an outstanding job of being able to bring those games to you. Again, even last night, the games that were broadcast, over 1,000 people watching that Facebook Live broadcast. Again, thanking our sponsors for making that happen. And as I mentioned as well, going forward, if you would like to help sponsor the Powell County Sports Network going forward, David Faulkner, myself, Ken Simon, or even Ethan Moore, you can call the radio station here. We'd be glad to talk to you about the various packages that are available in order to bring in those games. And I'll be honest with you, as far as a kind of bang for your buck, if you will, the pricing and the number of games and mentions that you get is well worth the investment. And again, I'd like to think that the listeners, that when you have an opportunity, you let those businesses know how much you appreciate them sponsoring that, being able to tune in, being able to listen, whether it's on the radio and or even on Facebook Live. Again, because without them, this would not be possible. Now we'll switch over to boys baseball. And when you look at the baseball, we will go back to the regional tournament. In the opening round, it was Letcher County Central over Breathitt County. These games were all held at Estill County. These were Saturday matchups. So Letcher County Central over Breathitt County, a really good game. That game ended up going 8 innings as well. When you look at that, could have gone either way. Letcher County Central able to manufacture a run in that 8th inning to defeat Breathitt County. Breathitt County had an opportunity in the bottom of the 8th inning and unfortunately just couldn't get a runner across. So Letcher County Central advanced to the second round. They would face off against the winner of the Estill County Perry County Central game. It was Estill County who came away with the win in that game. as they ended up defeating Perry Central 14-4. That game ended up going six innings before Estill County ended up winning by 10 runs in order to call that game at six innings. So it was the Engineers advancing to face off against Letcher County Central. Then in the bottom half of the bracket, it was Knott County Central versus Powell County. In that game, things did not necessarily go as the Pirates had hoped, as they were the guest, if you will, the visitors in that one. They started off, ended up having a leadoff walk to Cam Del Rosario, and at that point, the number two and three hitters ended up striking out. The fourth hitter ended up flying out to center field, and they left a base runner stranded. So there were no hits, no runs, one leadoff walk, two strikeouts, and one left on base. And then it was Knott County Central, who ended up stepping up, and they ended up scoring three runs on three hits. The first three batters for Knott County Central had two singles and a triple, a couple of stolen bases. So just like that, in a matter of minutes, it was quickly 3-0. Seven of the batters came to the plate in that first inning for the Patriots there, as they were able to get those three runs. They had three hits, three runs, no walks. They had one strikeout, one left on base. It could have been a lot worse, if you will, as they had opportunities with runners on to actually score again, and the Pirates were able to get out of the jam as they ended up getting the strikeout to end the inning. You go back to the second inning, and the Pirates come up to the plate, and unfortunately for them, they had two hits and one run. They had three walks, two strikeouts, and three left on base. So the Pirates had an opportunity again with the bases loaded. Unfortunately, ended up getting the strikeout, back-to-back strikeouts for out number two and three to end the inning. But under those circumstances, again, you have an opportunity. You get a couple of base hits. You get a walk thrown in there. You get the bases loaded. Even though you manufacture one run, the fact that you're unable to get a couple of those runners across and you have to settle for the one run there, that's not going to be good enough, especially in a tournament game where obviously runs scoring matters. It's so important, especially when you find yourselves trailing 3-0 at that point and you have an opportunity to manufacture those runs. It just didn't quite happen for the Pirates, as they ended up leaving those runners stranded. They come to the bottom of the second inning, and the Pirates were able to get a strikeout with the first batter, and then the second batter comes up and gets a walk, a couple of stolen bases, and fortunately for the Pirates, that runner gets stranded at third, as they were able to get out of a jam. They end up having a fielder's choice and then a ground out to the shortstop to end the inning. So the runner gets stranded over at third. And at that point, the fact that the Pirates were able to not allow another run or more runs to come across felt like they were really into the game at that point, just trailing 3-1 as they headed to the top of the third inning. So you feel pretty good about their chances at that point. And then the Pirates come up in that inning. They're able to start off and get a single, then a sacrifice bunt advances the runner. Then at that point, a strikeout, and then you ended up getting a single, if you will, and then a fielder's choice comes in. And at that point, the Pirates don't score any runs on that one. They get two hits, one strikeout. They have two left on base at that point. They have a runner on first and third. And again, another opportunity there. Just couldn't quite get the runs across there, leaving those two stranded. So at that point, you have several left on base. At that point, you had six left on base through the first three innings for the Pirates with just one run. And again, and it's such an important matchup, if you will, that's where it's a little bit on the tough side as far as them not being able to manufacture any more runs. So at that point, they're still trailing 3-0 as we head to the bottom of the third. And at that point, Perry Central was able to kind of get things going again for themselves. They didn't have any hits or any runs in the second inning, but in the third inning, they had four hits, three runs, two walks. They left three stranded. And even though they ended up getting the three runs to tack on, the Pirates got themselves out of a jam as well, as they ended up, Caleb Justice ended up flying to right field and to get the third out over there. And at that point, it could have been a lot worse. They ended up leading the Pirates 6-1 at that point as we head to the top of the fourth. Again, five runs, you know, not too much of a stretch in a sense as far as being able to get back into the game. Trailing 6-1, you still feel like your team has a really good chance they could just get some hits, if you will, kind of get things going for themselves. And then in the fourth inning, though, unfortunately for the Pirates, they ended up striking out the first two batters and then a ground out to end the inning. So they go three up and three down. That was the first time that they'd gone three up and three down in the ball game. So again, no hits, no runs, two strikeouts at that point. There were seven strikeouts through four innings with just the four hits. And when you have the seven left on base, six left on base, again, that's tough as well. So they go three up and three down. We head to the bottom of the fourth inning, and that's really when things just absolutely exploded, if you will, or even imploded, as Knott County Central ended up scoring 10 runs on 10 hits. They had one walk, one strikeout, two left on base. But under those circumstances, they came and really put it to the Pirates as the first six batters that were faced ended up scoring. So, you know, when you start off and your leadoff hitter, if you will, comes in and, you know, gets on base, gets a single, followed up by three more singles, and then you get a double and then a fielder's choice, even though you get another RBI, then another single and a run scored, a double and a run scored, another double, two more runs scored, a single with a run scored, and then a walk. And then at that point, they'd scored enough runs. At that point, it became 16-1 as they were able to get those 10 runs across. And at that point, the game was called after four, as Knott County Central defeated the Pirates 16-1. Again, hate that for the Pirate team in a sense as far as the season that they were having. They finished the season at 14-19 as Knott County Central improved to 23-12. And it just, that fourth inning in a sense, really, where you're able to get 10 runs on 10 hits, they really just put it to the Pirates in a sense, were able to put the ball in the open spots, put them in the gaps, the stolen bases, the hits. Again, they really just took advantage of the pitching that they were able to see. And again, you hate that for the Pirates. Obviously, that's not the way that they had hoped things would go. They actually lost the regular season matchup 5-4. And under those circumstances, you think you've got a pretty good chance, if you will, not expecting a 16-1 rout, you know, against Knott County Central. So at that point, Knott County Central ended up advancing. Again, they won 16-1 over Powell County. And then in the 5 o'clock matchup in the bottom half of the bracket, It was Hazard defeating Wolf County in five innings, 11-1. At that point, it was Knott County Central to face off against Hazard, and then Letcher County Central to face off against Estill County. In the first matchup, Estill County ended up defeating Letcher County Central 11-2. The Engineers continued to kind of roll on, if you will. Had their pitching working really well, had their bats working really well. In the first two rounds, they ended up scoring 25 runs, only gave up six at that point. So, again, you feel pretty good about their chances as they advance to the championship game. And in the bottom half of the bracket, it was Knott County Central facing off against Hazard. Hazard ended up winning that game 7-3 to advance to the championship game. The championship game was last night in Estill County. A really good matchup there as both teams really gave it their all. A seesaw battle. Either team could have won that game. Great pitching, great hitting, great fielding. The atmosphere was really nice as well. You could feel the energy in a sense. A really good turnout for that game. And then when you look at what Hazard was able to do, they come in, looks like a routine ground ball to the shortstop, takes one of those crazy hops, bounces up, goes over the shoulder. Next thing you know, the ball's in the outfield. And at that point, they were able to manufacture the run where they ended up winning 7-6. Hazard did over Estill County. Estill County had an opportunity in the bottom half of their inning. Leadoff hitter gets over on second. And then from there, the next three batters unable to advance the runner as a couple of pop-ups to the first baseman, and then a strikeout as well. Again, they had those, they had that opportunity with that leadoff double, in a sense. But again, just a great game. That's one of those classic games, if you will, because it literally was back and forth. You hate that for the Estill County Engineers to end their season that way, especially at home. When you look at the season that they ended up having. Very admirable job by Brian Crow to step in after the tragic loss of his son Blake, who was the head coach. But the players responded. They finished the season 20-13. They were the 56th district regular season and district tournament champions. Again, a heartbreaker in a sense to lose at home, to have an opportunity to go to the state tournament there. Again, they lost 7-6, but you can't take anything away from them as far as the way that they played. Again, just a bad hop. That happened to the Pirates as well in their game. Sometimes that ball, whether it's a piece of gravel, you know, dirt, whatever it is that causes that ball to, you know, take that hop, when you think all of a sudden you've got it, you're ready to field it cleanly and, you know, make the throw a regular ground out, if you will, and it takes that bad hop. Again, unfortunate, but Estill County definitely needs to, you know, keep their head up high in a sense. They responded amazingly in a sense under adverse circumstances as they finished the season 20-13, as it was Hazard who ends up advancing to the state tournament. So we'll actually go on and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the girls and boys state tournament here as you're listening to the Powell County Sports Network.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agent Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. always striving to meet the needs of their customers. Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back as we will go now and talk about the state softball tournament. Two games still to be played. Those games still to be played here tonight. One of those is the girls' 14th region softball tournament. Again, mentioned those two teams to you, as that is Wolf County versus Perry County Central. That game is being played right now over in Clark County. At this point, very cloudy, but hopefully it's not raining over there. The winner will advance to the state tournament, where they will face off against Lewis County. Lewis County coming out of the 16th region with a record of 21-8. So again, the winner of the 14th between Wolf County and Perry County Central will face off against Lewis County. That game will be June the 11th at 11 a.m. That will be at John Cropp Stadium over in Lexington. And then in the second game at that stadium there, it will be Johnson County Central out of the 15th region with a record of 33-6, as they will face off against Boyle County. Boyle County out of the 12th region with a record of 27-6. So Johnson Central and Boyle County facing off. The winner, again, will play either the Wolf County Lady Wolves or the Perry County Central Lady Commodores, who at that point will face off against Lewis County. So again, those games on June the 11th at 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And in the bottom half of the upper bracket, it is Ballard out of Louisville out of the 7th region with a record of 31-3 will face off against Davies County out of the 3rd region with a record of 31-6. So two very respectable records there between Ballard at 31-3 and Davies County 31-6 in the bottom half of that part of the bracket. Out of the 10th region, it will be Pendleton County with a record of 24-11, as they will face off against Boone County out of the 9th region, the record of 24-10. So very similar records there. Again, Ballard versus Davies County, Pendleton County versus Boone County. Those are the 11 a.m. and the 8 p.m. games, again, over at John Cropp Stadium over in Lexington. In the bottom half of the bracket, representing Region 13 will either be North Laurel or South Laurel, as that is the other regional championship game that is taking place today. North Laurel with a record of 17-13, taking on South Laurel with a record of 22-12. South Laurel ended up winning their regular season matchup all the way back on April the 16th. 5-4 was that final score there, as South Laurel won at North Laurel. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that one, especially with a close matchup. North Laurel actually has a higher RPI than South Laurel, despite the discrepancy in records, if you will. So the winner of that game out of Region 13 will face off against Lafayette out of Lexington. Lafayette representing the 11th region with a record of 30-8. And then the bottom tier of that particular bracket right there will be Butler out of the 6th region with a record of 30-4. Will face off against McCracken County out of region number 1 with a record of 30-6. Again, two 30-win teams there, 30-4 for Butler out of Louisville, and then McCracken County 30-6. Ought to be a really good matchup, and the winner of that game will face off against Lafayette and or the winner of North Laurel and South Laurel. Now we head to the bottom of the lower bracket. It's Warren East out of the 4th region with a record of 26-13 on the season. They'll face off against Henderson County out of region number 2, the record of 27-10. And then the last game there will be Greene County out of the 5th region with a record of 30-11. They'll face off against Henry County out of the 8th with a record of 21-4. Again, a lot of good teams in this tournament, several of them with 30-win seasons. There's about half of them, to be honest with you. Johnson Central, 33-6. Ballard at 31-3. Davies County, 31-6. Lafayette, 30-8. Butler, 30-4. And McCracken County at 30-6. And then Greene County at 30-11. So actually almost half, seven of those teams with at least 30 wins on the season. None of the teams that have made it this far any less than 21 wins on the season. You have Henry County at 21-4, and you also have Lewis County at 21-8. Again, everybody else, with a nice record on the season. Again, those games over at John Cropp Stadium over in Lexington, they will start on June the 11th and June the 12th. And then those winners will play on June the 18th with the Final Four, if you will, on June the 19th, and then the championship game on June the 20th. All of these games, again, over in Lexington. And now we'll switch over to baseball. At this point, it is Beachwood facing off against Danville. Beachwood out of the 9th region with a record of 31-6 on the season, facing off against Danville out of the 12th region with a record of 38-3. So that ought to be a really good matchup between those two teams. Danville 38-3. Very impressive, just like Beachwood, 31-6. Then below them in the same bracket will be Lafayette out of the 11th region with a record of 33-7. They'll face off against Campbell County out of the 10th region with a record of 25-14. So really good teams right there in those matchups. That's June the 12th are those games. These are at the University of Kentucky baseball field over there. Again, these are all the semi-state bracket, if you will. And then you have Elizabethtown with a record of 24-14 out of the 5th region. They'll face off against the winner in region number 8, still to be played. That's Collins versus Oldham County. Collins coming in with a record of 26-12. Oldham County with a record of 22-11. So Elizabethtown will face the winner of that matchup, which is going on tonight as well. Then you have McCracken County out of region number 1 with a record of 32-5. They'll face off against Bowling Green out of the 4th region with a record of 34-5. So two 30-win teams with just 5 losses each. Very impressive for both of those teams, as the McCracken County Bowling Green winner will face off against Elizabethtown, and then the winner of Collins and or Oldham County. Bottom half of the bracket, you have Owensboro Catholic representing region number 3 with a record of 32-5. They'll face off against Lyon County out of region number 2 with a record of 28-7. Then you have Whitley County out of region number 13 with a 30-9 record, facing off against Raceland out of the 16th region with a record of 31-7. So a 30-9 team facing off against a 31-7 team between Whitley County and Raceland. Again, all of these games are on June the 12th. And then you have Johnson Central with a record of 26-13 out of region number 15. Facing off against Hazard, the Bulldogs, with a record of 29-12, representing the 14th region. Again, with that victory over Estill County to advance to the state, ought to be a good matchup. A couple of mountain teams over there that I'm sure they've got quite a rivalry, in a sense, coming from very close counties over there. And then you have the bottom and final game will be Trinity out of Louisville, number 7th region, with a record of 37-2, facing off against DeSales out of the 6th region, coming in with a record of 32-8. So you have two of the Louisville Catholic high school teams facing off against each other in that first round there. Trinity 37-2 facing off against DeSales 32-8. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, obviously, you know, no matter what the sport is, a lot of people pay more attention, if you will, as far as when it comes to football, just where Trinity, San X, even DeSales, as of late, you know, kind of those power teams in football, if you will, but obviously they've kind of extended that. Trinity with the impressive record of 37-2, and then DeSales 32-8, but one of them will ended up dropping out. All of these games are kind of spaced throughout the state of Kentucky. University of Kentucky games, you have some of them that are at Etown High School, Western Kentucky University, Morehead State University. The games over at Morehead are Whitley County and Raceland and Johnson Central and Hazard. So, again, the matchups over there, whether they kind of have these broke down anymore with these sectional games, kind of keeping everybody in a similar area, if you will, in order to advance. And then once they get past the first round, then when you get to the go from 16 teams to 8 teams, the rest of the tournament will be played over at Legends Field over in Lexington. So all of these games are on June the 12th. Start times at 1 o'clock and 4:30. And then once they get to Legends Field, those games will start at 5 o'clock and 8:30 on the 16th. And then on the 17th, 5 o'clock and 8:30, where they'll split those into 2 days. And then the semifinals will be on June the 18th at 5 and 8:30 starts. And then on June the 19th will be your championship. So, again, the girls' championship will be on June the 20th at John Cropp Stadium in Lexington, where all of their games are being played. And then you have the boys' championship on June the 19th. That will be played on over at Legends Field. We'll go on and step aside here one more time. You're listening to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back, as we are back here. And I didn't make mention of this earlier, but want to take a minute to actually go on and make mention of this. The Powell County baseball team, the roster there with them, a couple of seniors on their team as well, as Evan McCoy, a senior, Tyler Brewer, played center field for the Pirates, Tyler Charles, Senior came in a lot as a pinch runner. Kyle Hale played some outfield. Those players, again, seniors on this team as the Pirates finished with that 14-19 record. Again, Coach Frank Spencer basically able to go very young with a lot of his players, a lot of freshmen and sophomores in leading positions, leading roles in a sense. So obviously looking to improve on things this past year in a sense, but with a very young team, they'll continue to get better as well. And then even with the Estill County Engineers, they ended up a couple of seniors on their team as well. Trayvon Neese, a senior. Cam Powell, an outstanding player for Estill County. Dean Tucker, another one of their seniors. Coben Clem, Andrew Elam, Rocky Hicks, Isaac Napier, Waylon Puckett. You know, a lot of these players play multiple sports as well. And, you know, it's always difficult in a sense when you don't necessarily hear the players, you know, when they finally reach that point as far as graduation and you're so used to seeing them playing these sports. A lot of them, again, multi-sport players. I wish them nothing but the best going forward, these seniors. I'll announce the 14th Region Baseball All-Tournament team. Again, this is the boys, as the girls are still in action in a sense, as we'll have the All-Tournament team for you for the girls in softball next week. From Breathitt County, Isaac Bellamy. From Powell County, Luke Hood. Wolf County, Jaden Mullins. From Perry County Central, Mason McAlarnis. From Letcher County Central, C.J. Akers and Ethan Brown. From Knott County Central, Kent Damron and Kyle Hofsis. From Estill County, Andrew Elam, Ty Neese, Thomas Forehand. And from Hazard, Hank Pelfrey, Gus Mullins, Matt Kraft, Sawyer Patrick, and the most valuable player, outstanding player, Sawyer Patrick, for Hazard, again, getting the MVP award. For the Lady Pirates, Maddie Brandenburg was named to the All-Region team. Again, we'll have the rest of those for you next week. And again, just want to recap as far as our sponsors. Again, without them, this wouldn't be possible. Whitaker Bank, Appalachian Wireless, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Mercy Health, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis and Davis Funeral Home, Mercy Medical Clinic, Toyota South, Ace Hardware and Feed, Apex Network Physical Therapy, Peebles Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, and Citizens Guarantee Bank. Again, we will be coming out soon, talking to local businesses. There are different packages that are available. Again, when you look at the amount of coverage that you get, whether it's on the Facebook page, whether it's on the radio, during broadcast, whether it's mentions, obviously, even here while we do this show, all kinds of opportunities when you look at the number of rotations that you get on a regular basis. It really is, you know, a value well spent. And again, we cover as much as we can in order to promote these student athletes who do a great job of entertaining all of us in a sense. If you're a sports fan, no matter what the sport is, again, the fact that they go out, especially during these last year here, the difficulty, obviously some students, you know, the year prior ended up losing their seasons. Fortunately, the seasons were able to carry on despite some stoppages, if you will, under those circumstances. But nonetheless, thank our sponsors. When you go out, we will be coming around and talking to businesses. Again, like to see more people come in and join in this coverage. in a sense, to help promote it. Again, looking forward to next season. So for my partner, David Faulkner, this is Ken Simon. You've been listening to the Powell County Sports Network, PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
104.9 FM, WSKV.
Welcome to the...